Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back up, getting Bogachuga to be with you. As I'm driving up this morning, I could look north over Brookhaven, and there was this big dark clouds up there. And I knew it was probably going to get some rain. It brought to mind what a beautiful day the Lord has made. That's a little colder than what some of us might like, and it's going to rain. But, you know, we need to change the seasons with all the flowers or plants that grow through their life, and we get what we need out of them. And we need the rain to keep them going, too. So even though it's not what we want it to be, it's still a beautiful day because the Lord, you know, has made it. And with that in mind, it's those kind of things could keep you from coming to church today. But the good news is, it didn't. You know, you made a choice to, you know, come here today and avoid the temptations of Satan and, you know, stay home. So you made the right choice, you know, to be in church, and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, later. We'll you know, sing songs of praise, you know, and study a portion of, you know, God's Word. But do we always make the right choice? The truth is, we really don't. And, you know, and the we I'm talking about is everybody from the young to the seniors like myself and everybody in between. You know, we make choices every day. One of the most important choices that, you know, we make, other than our first choice of becoming a member of the, you know, church that Christ established and the one we read about in, you know, the Bible, is the choice of we make when we choose our friends. And choosing the right friends can be a blessing. If the right friends are chosen, you know, they can be a source of great comfort in our good times and in our bad times. And we're told in Proverbs 17, in the first part of that verse, is that a friend loveth all the time, which means that a true friend is there to pat you on the back when times are good, and more importantly, they're there to provide you comfort and support during a time of need. And a true friend also can be a source of good advice during either the good times or the bad times, you know, that we face throughout our life. The problem is, we can't always tell who our true friends are. Sometimes, friends tell you what we want to hear. Other times they tell you things that we don't want to hear. So it's not easy to determine, you know, which ones are our true friends and which ones, you know, are false friends solely by what they tell us. And we're not the first ones to have this problem. You know, in Galatians 4, verses 16 through 20, Paul talks about the true friends and false friends when he wrote this to the Galatians, starting at verse 16. I am therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, but not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I think what Paul is trying to tell the Galatians is that in verse 16 is that true friends tell you what you need to hear. In other words, they tell you the truth, even if it often makes them your enemy. You see, Paul was a true friend to the Galatians. And when he wrote this, he wanted to remind them that if I'm your true friend, how is it that now that I can become your enemy just because I tell you the truth? The truth about false friends who are now trying to exploit you. When we choose a friend, you know, we should choose a friend like Paul was to the Galatians. Someone that will tell you the truth, someone that will teach you and others of the full gospel that's preached by, you know, Christ and his disciples. Someone that will do exactly what Christ tells us in Mark 16, verse 15. Go ye there unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. you know, our chosen friend should not be someone that will tell us just, you know, what is popularly believed or what may appeal to our sensitivities. Maybe it would be more accurate to say someone that tells us the false teachings by false teachers rather than saying popularly believed. In Galatians 1, verses 7 through 9, we read the following about false teachings by false teachers. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be, you know, accursed. Do we want to have a friend that believes the false teaching and perverts the gospel of Christ? Our friends that would lead us away from the true gospel of Christ and down the path to internal, you know, to an eternal destruction? No, I think it would be better if we chose friends who follow the teachings of Christ, someone that will accompany us, you know, down the difficult pathways of life. A true friend that helps us to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone to provide strength and guidance, you know, when we begin to slip away into the Satan's traps that he sets for us. You know, in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 through 18, you know, Peter tells us that we should be aware of false teachers, where he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye now these things before, and the things you see before is the what you know about false teachers, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And he goes on down in verse 18, he tells us how we could avoid false teachers and their false teachings, saying, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So we need to choose friends that will remind us when we face the real danger of falling away from our steadfastness and following the false, you know, teachers, even if it's something that we don't want to hear. We don't need friends that will only tickle our ears with the things that we enjoy hearing. And in second, you know, letter to Peter, to Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, you know, what to look out for when he tells him, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves, teachers having false ears. Many false friends would want us to hear or be tickled by a new sensation, a new philosophy, or something that not based on the scriptural, you know, teachings. They would prefer to have our thoughts influenced by, you know, speeches that are filled with fancy words rather than the words of God, which is able to make us wise unto our salvation. And down in verse 4 he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And what Paul, I think, is trying to tell Timothy here is that when people turn away from, you know, from God's truth, we can and will be deceived by the simplest, all the way up to the most extreme and ridiculous untruth that Satan's false teachers, you know, presents to us. And if we, you know, follow false friends away from the truth, then the old saying that, you know, I've heard will probably come true. Those that do not seek truth will not receive truth. We need true friends that will tell us, you know, the truth when we find ourselves drifting away from God. A true friend like Paul was when he reached out to the Galatians and tells them in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." You see, you can see that Paul was a true friend just by the way he addressed, the Galatians. He addressed them very tenderly, lovingly, in a gentle way, calling them my little children. And he continues to tell them that he would prefer to be with them and to talk to them in person about his fears and doubts about their faith, rather than tell it to them in a letter, which may cause it to sound more harsh than what he had intended. And also, as a true friend, Paul encourages the Galatians to be the same type of friend, to others. In chapter 6, verse 1, where he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In other words, when you see someone stumbling spiritually or carrying the burdens of family problems, alcohol, drugs, we shouldn't just stand there judging and then cast them out of our life. We need to hold them up, help them back from their errors. And as a true friend, we need to understand that temptations sometimes catches people, by surprise, and they only need just a little help with their burdens to bring them back. We need to ask ourselves, do we appreciate the value of true friends that we have in our life? Friends that tell us what we need to hear. And to help us to appreciate the value of good friends who tell us what we need to hear, we only need to read the words of wisdom that we get from David and Solomon. In Psalms 141, 5:8, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent all, which shall not break, my head." And another one is in Proverbs 13, verse 18. "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." And the last one is from Proverbs 15, verses 32 and 31. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." And wouldn't it be great if we always, was a true friend or had true friends that would follow the wisdom that we just read from both David and Solomon? Unfortunately, we can't, because we often choose the wrong friends. We choose friends that say what we want to hear to affect us, to affect you and get what they want. Paul tells us in Galatians 4, verse 17, "They zealously affect you, but not well." And what they want is for you to give in to the worldly demands of Satan. How do they want to affect you with this? It's simple. They just want to take you out of church and away from the teachings of Christ. And we need to never forget, that if we follow false friends and let it affect us in this way, Satan wins. It's important for us to remember what we're told in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, when we're being courted with too much zeal. "Now I beseech you, brethren, make them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And simply put, their motives may not be right, and their knowledge may in fact be wrong. We need to be aware of the, you know, false friends that try to manipulate us. False teachers, not too different from the ones that Paul warned the Galatians about, you know, when he said that they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they will exclude you, that they might affect them. And manipulation was a tactic first used by Nero Satan, and it's been used many, many times, successfully, since then. And Paul gives us two accounts of this in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 is the first one. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtleties, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And down in verse 13, he goes on to say, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of the righteous, whose end shall be according to their works. And we're also told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that we should be aware of false prophets that try to manipulate us. Where Peter writes, but there are false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought forth them, and being upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of, and through covetous shall they with fringed words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, but their damnation slumbereth not. You know, many times we think that we think people who are our true friends, but they actually transform themselves as false, friends. And for this reason, we need to always be, see the danger in selecting the wrong, friends. Friends who might try to manipulate you. To help better see and appreciate the dangers that we look to see, once again, we can look at the wisdom of Solomon. And I'll read this one from the New King James Version. For fervent lips with the wicked heart are like earthware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lip and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. And I'm not wise enough to add anything to what Solomon said, but I would like to add this, that we need to always remember that people have been led away by the wrong kinds of friends. False friends that try to manipulate us with eloquent speech and deceit using wrong knowledge, and disguising it, as Solomon said, the seven abominations in his heart. Although, another thing to remember when we need to select a friend is what Paul tells us. Our good habits can be corrupted by our bad company. When he writes, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. And that's from 1 Corinthians 5, verse 33. Corruption by bad company, happens when, much easier to a weak or new Christian, because it's more easy easily, because they're more easily swayed by Satan and the skillful manipulation and deceitfulness of a false friend. Paul calls the new and weak Christian, you know, children, in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that's tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And he begins verse 14, you know, with these words, that we henceforth be no more children, implying that we should aim to reach a point in our life where, and you know, strength, where we no longer are inexperienced and easily deceived by the tricks of false friends. We can only reach this point of strength by diligent Bible study and choosing true friends. Friends that tell us what we need to hear when we begin to give in to the worldly demands of Satan. When we choose friends, there's a few things we need to, you know, look at. First, choose a friend, someone like Paul was to the Galatians, someone that will tell you the truth. And secondly, we need to choose friends. We need to choose friends that lost my place. The friends that we choose should not be someone that would tell us what is popularly believed or what may appeal to our sensitivities. We should choose someone that will lead, or not choose someone that lead us away from the true gospel of Christ and down the path of eternal, you know, destruction. And we should always choose friends that will not just tickle our ears with the things that we enjoy hearing. Friends that try to manipulate, you know, us with eloquent speech and deceit and with the wrong knowledge. And we should always be aware of false friends that try to manipulate us. And find us, and we should always choose it, close friends that will tell us, you know, the truth when we find ourselves drifting away from God. And one last word from the wise, you know, Solomon. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And that's Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6, you know, from the New King James Version. You know, if you remember anything that I've said today, let it be this, that the greatest friend that we can have is Jesus. In John 15, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you." Jesus was friend enough to die for us. He was friend enough, you know, to die for us, you know, because we followed him and his commandments. And he also was friend enough to die for his enemies, the ungodly, giving them the opportunity to repent of their sins, be baptized, follow him, and if found faithful to the end, have prepared a place, you know, for them in heaven. And what a blessing it is to have a true friend, you know, like Jesus. And if you're here today and haven't followed the, you know, plan of salvation and made Jesus your true friend, the invitation is, you know, open. Or if you're here and are in need of the prayers of the church, you know, whatever your needs may be today, please come forward.